Sorry, they were short readings, and I ran to get a glass of water. And I guess I could use the lectern. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today by your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I appreciate if you're here for the first time, telling you we're on the last day of a series is probably a bit interesting and not the most helpful thing. We are on the last day of the series. This could be a standalone talk. And as we looked at the material for the course, it works nicely. You might think I planned this beautifully, but I can assure you I didn't. It's a godly coincidence that today's topic is life together when we think about community on a day when we have a baptism. I'm just going to backtrack to last week briefly, and you'll see on the screen we have a slide that shows worship, serve, life group, give and go. Have you seen this before? Great. I hoped you'd say that. So, as we thought about what our rule of life is, those of you who've been reading along in the book or been on the course know we were talking about our spiritual rule of life. And one of the things that came out was that the spiritual rule of life is something that's done in community. So if you look at monks, Benedictine monks in the monastery, they'll have a rule of life. They'll pray at certain times through the day and that kind of thing. And so the rule of life is not just about what I do with my time. It's about what we do with our time, how we grow together. So I just wanted to show this because you might have thought, I've never heard of a rule of life before. And actually, we've been saying for the last 8 years that as a community, we grow as disciples. I still can't read it, but I know it. We grow as disciples when we worship weekly, when we serve in a ministry, when we're part of a life group or some other small group where we can grow, when we give to God's work, and when we then go do some stuff and serve. So I just wanted to throw that up, and then we'll get on to this week. So the last session is called Life Together, and there's three things I'm going to cover today, they are... Do we have another slide? We do, perfect. You can just leave that one there, Nona, thanks. Family, community, and spiritual friendships. Jesus' invitation was that we would do life together. We do life together as family. I've said this before, and it never gets old. Look around at the people you're sat with, whether you've never seen them before or you know them, and it's quite amazing that you're with these people at this point in church. And there's a good chance that some of the people you're with, you have completely different views on. I'm going to get political. I love it when people tell me their opinions on the election, be it locally or the one slightly further south. I love it because I hear all the different sides. And we're not having communion today. We don't tend to when it's a baptism Sunday for the interest of time. But I think if you knew the views of the people you take communion with, you may not be here. And so it's so special that we can come together and be united. We're united around the gospel, united around the cross, united around the font. And I'll invite you later to come forward if you've been baptized ever. I was baptized. Some of you can't believe that I was. I was 3 months old. I don't remember it. I was 3 months old. I know it was in St. Andrew's Church, but that's because I've read the certificate. And sometimes coming forward and just dipping your finger in the water, which we tend to do on a baptism Sunday, and making the sign of the cross on our own forehead, just like I did for Weston, it's a way of showing that we're tied together around the cross and the water of rebirth. And so we don't come to church as people who all have the same opinions. Then we'd be a club with a particular goal or purpose. we come together as God's people. What unites us is that we're God's family, that we're all different but connected through Jesus and the cross. We have been adopted into the family of God. We've been adopted into the family of God. And so you can't do that on your own. Maybe if I talk about politics again, dangerous, living dangerously, I'm walking on the edge this morning. But you may have some kind of algorithm, be it on Facebook or even the news feeds that you read, that's given you certain kinds of news. It can doctor your perspectives of what's going on in the world. Even you choose the channel that you watch and you'll get a particular perspective on the news. You can think that everyone else thinks the same as you. And then you come to church and you have a conversation with someone, or you see they've got a bumper sticker on their car and go, that shocks me, I can't believe it. To be Christians, we do it in community. We do life together as God's family. And so, obviously, this kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it. The community that we're part of as the church is a community of love and a community of grace. There is a time for truth, but we get on a lot better when we focus on the grace. When we focus on the grace that holds us together, the grace that means I can have a different opinion to somebody. And rather than saying you're wrong, I can say, I have a different opinion to you. It's much less confrontational. If you're in the workplace, you might try it. If your boss is telling you something and you think your boss is an idiot, anyone, we're being live streamed, I'm not gonna say raise a hand if your boss is an idiot, but you can think it inside. Raise a hand inside if you think your boss is an idiot, right? So here's what you say. You don't say you're an idiot. You say, I have a different opinion to you. It's a neutral, disarming phrase. And so, you get what I'm saying, I'm sure. Life together in community with people who may have different understandings of God and life and faith and the world and politics and what their favorite color is and what you should have for breakfast and whether you should fast for 12 hours overnight or 14 hours and whether you should, I mean, being English, I have to say this one, whether you should put the milk in before the tea or after the tea, we all have different opinions. I'm not going to tell you on that one because some people will leave the church if I tell you and it's, you know, before or after. Jesus' desire is that we're formed into people of love. You'll know they're my disciples by the fact they all agree with each other, said nobody. You know they're my disciples by the love they have one for another. You know this already. Even if you've never been to church and this is your first time in church, you've heard it. Jesus talks about love. And love is hard. And so we get to practice in community. And when I talk about practicing in community, and when the course we've done talks about community, it's talking about the church community. We often talk about community as the wider community, but specifically it's the church community we're talking about in this context. We get together in community, where we are formed, where we're formed spiritually. There's four different kinds of community. You could argue there's many, but I'm just gonna tell you this because if you are looking at the course, then that will make sense. So the suggestion is four levels. They are intimate community, which might be the 1 to 5 people who know us really well. Your spouse, your best friend, maybe your mother or your daughter or somebody. A small number of people. The people who you could probably call up in the middle of the night and they wouldn't get mad with you. Then we have friends, maybe 10 to 15 people who we might do life with. It's said, of course, in this day and age that one of the biggest miracles in the Bible is that Jesus was a man in his 30s who had 12 friends. I'm not sure I had 12 friends in my 30s. but people who we would call friends, who we might hang out with, do life with. And then we have a village, which is the bigger group of people. So the village might include the church. The village might include the same person you see at the coffee shop every morning. The village might include somebody who you see at the school gate or in the drive-through school line if you're driving to school. The village might be somebody you work with. You're friends because you're at work, but you're not seeing them outside of work. And it's said that about 150 people is about the most number of people that we can be in relationship with. It's why for churches, they don't tend to get much bigger than 150, unless you develop alternative structures. You can't, a pastor, a priest, can't know more than 150 people well. The biggest layer of community is the tribe. So that's the larger group we identify with. It might be if we're in a union that we identify with the union. It might be with you know, a tribe of people doing the same job. It might be that we identify with a particular socioeconomic group or a demographic group, or we see ourselves in a particular way because we like a certain kind of music, and that kind of thing. So the tribe is the biggest one. Four layers of community: intimate, friendships, the village, and then the bigger tribe we identify with. So then, how are spiritual friendships different? Spiritual friendships are marked by three core characteristics, and they are depth, vulnerability, and commitment to transformation. If you're able to know somebody on a more spiritual level, there is something about a depth to the conversation that you can have. Anyone here like small talk? Nobody. Wow. Okay, good. I don't like small talk either. Maybe I've just bored you to death and you've fallen asleep already. But some people love small talk. And you know when you meet someone who loves small talk if you're someone that doesn't. I used to catch the bus a lot. And if you catch the bus, you find there are people that love small talk. And I'd often find that I find myself, maybe just because I was kind of looking up and interested, that then I'd have to get into this whole conversation about the weather and about what the weather's doing next week and about what the weather did last week and those kinds of things. That's kind of small talk. Deep conversations where we can ask those harder questions. How are you really? What do you really think? Deep conversations can't be quick. They can be brief, and then you think, I need to come back to that. We need to have a coffee and have a conversation. We need to go for a walk and think about this more. The deep conversations. Somehow we need to find people we can have deep conversations with. Spiritual friendships are vulnerable. It's almost impossible to have a spiritual friendship with a priest because I'm generalizing completely here, but I think because I have found people will tell me what they think I want to hear. So often they'll tell me what they think I want to hear. And that's fine to a point. Sometimes I can see through it, sometimes I can't. But we need to find people we can be vulnerable with. We talked about confession a couple of weeks ago. And there's something about confessing, getting things off our chest, which doesn't have to be with a priest. And quite often it's not, because people feel the priest is going to judge them or that kind of thing, which is not the case. But I think that's what I have found often is people's experience or expectation, is that I can't really say what I think. Because if I say what I think, David will strike me off the coffee rota. If I say what I think, I won't be able to be in the band. We have to find people we can be vulnerable with, which means we need to be able to build up trust. So spiritual friendships are marked by depth they're marked by vulnerability, and thirdly, they're marked by a commitment to transformation. We don't come to church because we want to be the same. Now, sometimes we want church to be the same, and when the pews are moved, sometimes we get a bit upset. When, you know, this lectern causes great consternation because it moves, because sometimes it's over here, and sometimes it's over here, and sometimes it's in the middle, and sometimes it does that within the same service. And it can be quite unsettling, not on its own, it's not suggesting that. But we move it around to different places. But sometimes we struggle because we don't like change. And yet, if we can have some find or make or work on some spiritual friendships with people with whom we can talk about change and transformation, the reality is most of us are okay with some kind of change. We just want to be more in control of it than we sometimes are. And so spiritual friendships have a commitment to transformation. Getting together to grumble is deeply biblical, because we see that through the Old Testament, 40 years of grumbling behind Moses. Deeply biblical, but it's not going to transform us. Getting together with an eye to saying, I really want to grow in faith, and I want to talk with you about how I can grow in faith, and can we walk alongside each other? So that's the encouragement, really. Cultivating a community of spiritual friendship, a place where we can be open and honest without fear of recrimination or someone thinking less of us. That's why we plug life groups. Life groups are one way we can do that. As an institution and an organization, obviously we want to find ways to do this kind of stuff, and life groups is the way that we kind of say from the front, here's what you can do. If you want to be in a community where you can grow spiritually, we recommend a life group. But not everyone is going to be in those groups. Some people, they might want to meet up with one or two people on their own and have their own group where they discuss transformation, kind of in a different way. So whatever it is for you, as I say, it doesn't have to be life groups. Hopefully if you're in life groups, you find that you can build some spiritual friendships, but sometimes we want a smaller group, two or three. My encouragement and challenge is for you to pray. If you feel that you're in a place where you have some spiritual friends, where you can have the deep conversations, then great. Pray that those would flourish. If you find, you know, if I'm honest, David, I don't think that I've got people that I can have these conversations with in my life. I feel that my friends aren't, perhaps they're not Christians. Maybe you need to find some Christian friends to be able to have that spiritual conversation with. Maybe that's something you could pray for. Because the reality is, it's all very well thinking about life together, but we have to take a step to go beyond. Just coming to church and sitting in the pews is not going to, on its own, lead to transformation. It might lead to a sudden change. Sometimes people come to church and they experience the Holy Spirit and they say, I wasn't baptized. Can I get baptized? Absolutely. Not now. We'll do it next week. Let me know. But maybe you're not from this church and you're somewhere else, and you could talk to your own pastor or priest about a baptism there. But I believe God is at work in each of us, in our community, in you. And that God is calling us to grow deeper, to grow deeper in our faith. And one of the ways we might need to do that is to go deeper in some of our friendships with discernment and care and trust. If you are feeling, you know, I'm just not sure I have anything like that, then maybe as we spend some time in a moment in prayer, you might come forward and just ask for some prayer, that the Lord would highlight to you one or two people who you might get to know in that deeper spiritual way. Or maybe as I've talked, you can think of one or two people who you realize, actually, I do have a deep connection with them. We can talk about spiritual matters. We are vulnerable and we seek transformation together. And if that's the case, maybe you could thank them. You could thank God for them in prayer, and you could thank them and say thank you that we're on this journey together. So a couple of things you could do depending on where you are. I'm going to pray, and then what we're going to do is the band will come up and play a couple of songs. The font is still here and has water in, so you might like to come, and as I spoke at the beginning about life together, you might like to just dip your finger in the water and make the sign of the cross with the water on your forehead. There's nothing magical about the water. It's not holy water. It's just water. But the symbol of us dipping our finger in and saying, as I said to Weston, Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of his cross. You might say those words. Thank you, Christ, that you have already claimed me for your own. And once again, I receive the sign of your cross. So you can come and do that. You can stand and sing. You can come for prayer. I'll pray, and then the band will come and lead us. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of each other. We thank you for our different opinions. We thank you for the people you've made us to be. We thank you that we're not all the same. As we think about journeying together as a community, about doing life together, I pray that you would stir in each of us whatever it is that you want to stir today by your Holy Spirit. If it's that we give encouragement to the friends we have, help us to be people of encouragement. If it's that we seek to grow in our own faith, help us to grow in our own faith. And if it's that we find people that we can walk with and go deeper with in faith, I pray you'd reveal them to us even now. In Jesus' name, amen.